Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Sam Schmidt sounding better than ever. And our good, good buddy, Paul Emig. Behind the scenes, I do a show rundown I send to the boys. Sent one to Sam Schmitz last week. I said, good, good buddy. And he knew to get in touch with Paul. This week on the rundown, it says, buddy so good. Come on, baby. It's a buddy so good. Sometimes buddies don't act like they should, but he's a buddy so good. Hey, good buddy.
Trivia on a Monday, apparently, with all the singing.
Buddy
good
so
job.
Good. Well, because I botched Mellencamp last week. I wanted to bring him back.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
Come on, baby. It's a buddy so good. What's up, good buddy?
Hey, have you challenged Horvat yet on how he arrived at Starland Vocal Band?
No, see, Horvat is a cheater. And if I call him out on it, he just gets more mad.
Friend of show Rob Reichel thought there might have been some shenanigans.
Well, we just talked to Rob Reichel a little bit ago.
I know. You asked him all the good draft questions, and none of the did Ryan Horvat cheat during trivia questions.
Ah, yeah, you're right. I did do that.
But that was what the people really wanted.
Well, Horvat's kind of like a turtle, I realize. If you, like, poke him a little bit, he just hides in his shell. He doesn't want to come out and play until the threat is gone.
Yeah, by the way, Reichel said, he texted me during last week's trivia and said that it was too easy. He got them all correct, except for not knowing who sang Afternoon Delight, which Horvat did know. And so Rob was curious as to how a 34, 33-year-old man might have known that.
Well,
for another day.
He cheats. Horvat cheats at trivia.
You said it, not me.
Well, look, I cheated trivia too.
You do?
When I was at home, I always cheated.
But that's because you were losing like 120 to 16.
I cheated so I didn't lose 100 to 16. I cheated so I lost like 80 to 50. Is how,
yeah.
I didn't cheat enough to win because that would have been too obvious. I cheated enough to save a little face.
Yeah, it still didn't really work, but it made it better, yeah.
Well, we talked some draft with Rob Reichel. I want to talk some draft with you. Mike the Painter's on the line, however, and I think it's appropriate we get him on to talk some draft, too. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, you two. How you guys doing?
Oh, good. Better now, Mike.
Oh, thanks, Part. You just brightened up my morning.
I would say, because there's friend of show and good, good buddy, I'd say you're a good, good buddy.
I appreciate that. I think you are a good, good buddy myself.
Look at that. You know? All right. Well, now that we've hugged, what's happening?
You know, I've been seeing a lot of this Newsom guy, and I really want the Packers to stay away from him because that's just going to be an injury-riddled pick for us.
Greg Newsom, cornerback, like Northwestern, yeah. Is getting mocked a little higher now, maybe even upper teens.
Yeah, I really like him to stay away. I really want him to go to defensive tackle and go move up and get that Barmore. I think that's going to make our secondary that much better, and they're already pretty good. And I think that would help out King a lot better.
So improve the secondary by improving the defensive line.
Yes.
You don't want to see another year of Dean Lowry?
Yeah, what about Tyler Lancaster, Mike?
No, I don't mind those guys. Those guys are good role players.
They're not, though. You're wrong.
They're not. You're being very kind to them.
Well, they can make some plays if they're used correctly and not in there to make plays every down. I think they'll be all right, you know.
So you want Barmore? We're going to put that on the record. Barmore.
Barmore, move up and get Barmore. Move back into the first round and grab a tackle.
Ooh, I like that idea. All right, Mike, we'll find out. We'll talk to you throughout the week.
Yes, have a good day, guys.
Mike the Painter, a good buddy. Paul, we've talked a little bit last week about linebacker. There's been a couple of people mocking linebackers to the Packers. Another guy did this morning, Peter King, mocking a linebacker to the Packers. And if you could just reiterate, you're almost willing to lay down on the train tracks to tell people they're not taking a linebacker in the first round.
Well, the history would tell you that that is the case. That, and to be clear on this, and you know, shout out to Sean O'Connell, who initially said, "What the hell was Paul Emick talking about?" Then called in the next day and said, "Ah, sorry, Paul." So there's our little over the air back and forth with Sean.
Sean O'Connell, a good buddy.
Good buddy. Good buddy. Inside linebacker, middle linebacker, you know, same thing, depending on your system. The Packers just have not traditionally valued it. And so I am fascinated by another year, and it happens every 3 years or so, where there's this big push that the Packers are going to, this is the year, Bart. This is the year they value inside linebacker. And every time a Packers fan gets their hopes up, every time I start to buy in and say, I agree. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a fan of a team that's just been gotten so close so many times and you kind of just start to check out and you say, you know what? Call me when you reach the finals. Call me when you reach the Super Bowl, because until then it's kind of just like it's fun to talk about. It's interesting to talk about, but you're just not buying it. I'm not buying it, Bart. I've paid attention to the way the Packers draft for too long. And the fact that Brian Gutekunst came from Ted Thompson's tree. It's no longer Earth Day, but from the tree, came from a Ron Wolf tree. And like, the Packers just have not, you know, really, if you go back to when they thought they were going to get Ray Lewis 20 plus years ago, 25 years ago, since then, there have just been so many instances where they haven't valued it. And so if Thursday night comes and goes, in place of trivia on Friday, if the Packers move up and draft an inside linebacker, or stay put and draft an inside linebacker, I'm going to spend the trivia time on Friday just eating crow the whole time and just saying, I was wrong. I was wrong. But until then, I will lay on those tracks and say the Packers.
Has anyone ever had crow?
I mean, it must not be good for it to have made the analogy and done so for this long.
I think I want to try it, because everyone's always like, oh, you're going to eat crow. Well, okay, well, what's crow taste like?
I mean, it must just be the worst dish.
I don't know. Have you ever had Arby's?
Roast beef and cheddar.
No, I'm just being John Stewart. I like Arby's. I really do. I like them.
Well, you're never going to be a sponsor now after that snide comment.
Oh, yeah. That's what cost them.
Yep. You're on your way to a deal. So, like, hey, I saw the latest Athletic mock draft as well, where your boy Schneidman, not only he traded back in it, and picked up even more picks, and then still took an inside linebacker with the first pick, which was a second round pick. And that, you know, he's really into that. And so if he's plugged in and has some information that says, you know, this is the year, then he was right. Then, you know, props, because he's very hell bent on the idea that this is the year the Packers do it. I am going to rely on the historical preference of the Green Bay Packers and say, I'll believe it when I see it, and not a minute before.
Yeah, I think they go cornerback, but then talking to Rob Reichel, he's pretty adamant they go offensive line, maybe with a couple of the first few picks they have, and wide receiver. What were your thoughts on that he had said?
Yeah, and I did listen to Rob, because he's a good buddy as well.
He is.
And yeah, well, I mean, yeah, in of life and of show. and it is backed up by... what was the NFL mock draft that I read over the weekend, or even this, I actually have it up. It's Rhett Lewis from NFL.com, who has Elijah Moore, wide receiver, Mississippi, as the Packers' 29th pick in the first round. You know, what we have to remind ourselves, and here's the part of the question I wanted to ask sort of rhetorically to you and to everyone that's listening. It was Pete Doherty who I think went on the big show 2 months ago and said a Devontae Adams extension is imminent. Like, I'm not, you know, maybe this week, maybe next week, but There's not a question about a Davante Adams extension. Now, it's only April 26th. A lot can happen. You know, there's 4 months plus until the regular season. By no means am I starting to think, you know, doom scenario in terms of Davante Adams' future in Green Bay. But he's not re-signed yet. I don't. And by the way, when his extension would kick in, theoretically, Davante Adams would be 30. I can't imagine a scenario in which they don't figure out an extension there. But if you add in Davante Adams to literally every other wide receiver for the Packers, not one of them is on the roster in 2022. They are all free agents after this season. Every single darn one of them is a free agent after this season. So you're not going to, you know, obviously cut bait with the entire group a year from now, regardless of Super Bowl or not. So you do have to start, you know, reloading that cupboard with wide receivers. And so a wide receiver at 29 would make a lot of sense. Cornerback at 29 would make a lot of sense. And I think the only reason that makes it difficult to assess offensive line is a two-part question. One, where do they think Elgton Jenkins is going to play long term? Is he a guard?
I don't want him to be center. I'm against that.
Well, I think I'm against that as well. But do you think Elgton Jenkins can play long-term tackle? Is that his position? Is he a right? Is he good enough to permanently swing to right tackle? And if he is he so good at the interior of the offensive line? Like, would you rather have the best interior offensive lineman in the league, or let's just make up a number and say the eighth best right tackle? Like, which one carries more value for you as an organization? And if he could become the eighth best right tackle in the league, that would be amazing for the Packers. But you know what else is amazing? Having one of, if not the best interior offensive linemen in the league, whether it's left guard, right guard, center, you know, Elgton Jenkins is incredible.
My take would be I want guys to play where they are the best at. So
then
I would say interior.
At guard.
Yeah, I would say guard.
So if he stays at guard, Billy Turner isn't, you know, here long term. Probably this could be a last year. Maybe he gets into 2022. But so the two big questions for me related to offensive line that we don't know are, what are they thinking with Elgton Jenkins, both short and long term as far as a position? And what week is David Bakhtiari making his comeback? I've heard you guys be quite optimistic, you and Horvat, about week one, maybe week four latest.
I think everything that I've seen is speculatory. I don't know week one. I three, four. I mean, it could go as long as eight. We can't. So there's a bunch of things we're assuming. We cannot assume that David Bakhtiari is coming back week one. And I think that so many people have. And we also, to your point, we can't assume that Davante is signing another contract here. He might. He probably will. He most certainly almost will. But I don't like that we've just, like, decided it's set in stone. We freaked out for 5 years about Giannis, yet everyone's just like, oh, yeah, Davante, for sure. And Jair, for sure. Yeah. But, I mean, the Packers have a lot of money tied up already. And that's one of the reasons they want Aaron gone so quick.
Yeah, and Jair is less imminent because this will be his fourth season as a first-round pick. Jair has a fifth season as well. So we're not on that last year of the Jair Alexander contract, whereas the Packers are on that last year with Davante Adams. So David Bakhtiari, and I want to go back to the Davante thing if you want to, Bart, but let me just say about the two-part thing of unknowns for offensive line. David Bakhtiari tore his ACL on December 31st. Now, I know, like, however many, 5-6 years ago when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and, like, rewrote the book on how quickly an elite athlete can come back from a torn ACL. Even if it's 9 months, a 9-month comeback. Now, keep in mind, Bakhtiari is a much bigger man than Adrian Peterson. Huge. He's an offensive tackle in the NFL. He's a big dude. If he comes back in 9 months, which would be incredible, incredible, that would mean he's still going to miss the first four games. If he makes a 9-month comeback, which would, again, like, I can't emphasize enough, would be really, really fast and truly incredible, that would still miss four games. You said it could be as long as 8 games. Bart, it could be as long as 10 or 12 games. Like, We don't know that. So if they do go offensive tackle in the first round, especially if they trade up or if they use two of their first three picks on offensive tackle, I mean, sure, there's long-term planning aspects to that, but I think that would at least be a glimpse into where they feel Bakhtiari is at 4 months into his recovery, which is going to, again, be a minimum of a 9-month recovery, and we're only 4 months into it. So I think their approach at offensive tackle will tell us a little bit about how they feel of his recovery.
So what's like your best bet on what they do on Thursday?
Defense. Trade up in defense. I think if we've studied some history of Brian Gutekunst, which isn't a long history, you've talked about trading up, you know, back when in 2018 when they trade up to get Jaire Alexander. Don't forget that they had first traded back. They were the number 12 pick.
Yeah, people do forget,
Yeah, literally. Moved up. They'd literally forget to 2018 when they traded up to give New Orleans the pick to pick Marcus Davenport. 14 is what it was, the 14th overall pick. And then the Packers moved back up into 18 to get Jaire Alexander. I think the Darnell Savage pick, trading up to get him. I think the Jordan Love pick is just such an outlier in the sense that he was, you know, according to Brian Gutekunst at least, was the only player left who had a first-round grade. Okay, like, you know, all positions aside, all Aaron Rodgers commentary aside, if that's the only guy left that you think is worthy of a first-round pick, okay, fine. Like, that's, you know, you're in the position to make that call, so that's what they did. Other than that, the fact that they've been aggressive on defense, they have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe it's defensive line, maybe it's corner. To me, those would be the two spots to look. It's not going to be an edge rusher. I mean, not with Preston Smith having been restructured, and of course Rashawn Gary ascending to this point. You know, we've talked about the inside middle linebacker piece of it. So beefing up the defensive line makes a lot of sense to me. Adding what you would hope to become your long-term guy opposite Jaire Alexander at corner makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, if they do stay put, I think the only offensive position, again, having said the variables and the unknowns related to Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, would be the only thing that would make sense to me at 29, at least, knowing what we know today, is a wide receiver at 29. So I don't like to talk about specific players, Bart, partially because there are people who study college football at a really high level that I don't want to pretend to, but also because every time I have gotten, or, you know, fans back in my Green Bay Packers beat writer days would email or tweet or whatever else and ask about specific players, we get hyped on certain players, and it's almost never that particular player is the one that nets out. So rather than, I think, focus on that, which other people can, I'm going to say I think the positions that make sense and the history of what would make sense would be corner, D-tackle, and wide receiver.
Since you are such a good buddy, Paul Imig joining us here on not just 1250 AM The Fan, people should not forget the Odyssey app. Free to download. Guys, free! Oh, there's so many podcasts that you can listen to all over the globe. You got Kevin Durant. We got Kevin Durant as part of the family. Kevin Durant and I are co-workers, essentially.
Has he done more podcasts or played more games as a Brooklyn Net?
Ooh, good question. Good question. And if you want to listen to the story of the Houston Astros from 5 years ago, did they prevail? All that and more, plus the TikTok girls. Can't be more excited. The Locked On Draft Network, Locked On Packers, Locked On Bucks. It's all there. And, of course, us on the really growing so fast, the Odyssey app.
An Odyssey station.
All right, you are a good buddy, so I have other questions for you not related to the Packers. First of all, is a 7-inning no-hitter a no-hitter?
No.
No, it's absolutely not.
No.
It's got to be. What about an 8-inning no-hitter where you're on the road and you lose?
Oh, wow.
Because that's happened before.
Has it?
Oh, yeah. The Red Sox have done it like 4 times.
So, Bert, let me. I haven't thought of that one, but I'll answer the first part, and I would just say, when I thought about that question last night, I put myself in the shoes of the player, or the catcher, either the pitcher or the catcher in that scenario, right? If you're the catcher, you come out and you just give the biggest of bear hugs because you just achieved MLB history. If you're the pitcher, you're thinking, I'm in the record books. No matter what else I do, I'm in the record books. And the 7th inning concludes, and you're that catcher or you're that pitcher. If that was me, and I can only speak for what my reaction would be, maybe it's my skepticism and my cynicism or whatever else, I would be, as the catcher or pitcher, thinking, okay. Like, that. I know that's how I would have felt. I would have felt like, hey, I'll take the celebration. I'll take the kudos. Clearly, if you go 7 innings of scoreless ball or hitless ball, you pitched tremendously. I would feel, if I was the player, that I didn't do the thing that, you know, that puts me in that same category. So that would be, again, that's the rule that MLB set out. They said it's a 7-inning game. It doesn't take anything away from the pitcher. But I, as that pitcher, or even the catcher, like I said, who would be greeting the pitcher at the mound following it, I would feel like I didn't do the same thing that others have done. So strictly speaking from that perspective, I wouldn't count it because I don't think I would count it. I would even give myself an asterisk if it was me.
If the Brewers did it, I wouldn't count it. I wouldn't look at it as the true number two no-hitter that we had. Like if Corbin Burns does it tonight, I'll say Corbin. Here. So this is the way I look at it because I'm trying to be more definitive here. Like when we talk about the Hall of Fame, I always say, if you have to ask, the answer is no. If you have to say, is this guy a Hall of Famer? Did you just ask? Then the answer is no. If the guy's a Hall of Famer, you definitely probably know. Definitely maybe. Great movie. You definitely maybe know that he is a Hall of Famer. If you have to ask, there's some doubt, so he's not. With the no-hitter, Madison Bumgarner someday, 10, 15 years from now in his life, is going to say, or someone's going to ask him, hey, didn't you throw a no-hitter? What's he going to say? He's going to say every time.
He's going to say.
Yeah, but it was 7 innings.
Correct.
He's not going to say, yes, I threw a no-hitter, because he knows he didn't. He's going to say, yeah, well, it was 7 innings. He's always going to, he will never be able to be asked that without saying it was 7 innings. So for that reason, it is not a true no-hitter. And once again, yep. Bart has used what's very rare in this world. He has used logic to rationalize an argument, and therefore that is why I am king. Although my take from, I don't know if you watched any of the Oscars last night.
I saw the Twitter buzz.
It was terrible. But yeah. Daniel Kaluuya, his name?
I know who you're saying. I know who you're talking about, but I'm not sure on the pronunciation.
He thanked his parents for basically engaging in intercourse so that he was born. And I wish more people would do that because a lot of
you'd like to take this moment to thank,
Greg and Vicky for, it was their anniversary night in Houston. They were in Houston.
Did you once say there was a bathtub involved?
They took a long bath. Yeah. That's how I was born. But without two adults doing the freaky, I ain't here. And that's true with everybody. So whenever we get on our high horse that we're so great, we got to remember that two people did some stuff to make us. So that's just the message that I wanted. So never think that you're too great because we're all the product of two people kissing and hugging is what I tell my nieces and nephews.
The more you know.
Another thing I want to ask you about. First of all, I have to ask you because you're weird. Did you watch the Bucks last night yet?
I did.
Okay. Dante DiVincenzo is not great. And we were trying to go around and try to think of some other options. Let's say the Bucks are like, all right, we can't start them. And, you know, starting and finishing, and the Warriors for years have started guys at the center position specifically. David Lee, Kevon Looney. They start in the finals. They play Andrew Bogut. Plays 15 minutes a game. Plays a bunch of the first half. Starts the second half. Doesn't finish. Barely plays in the fourth. So if you start, that doesn't mean you're playing 35 minutes. But Dante's playing starter minutes, and he's starting. So if you don't start Dante, there's no other options unless you start Pat Connaughton. Gross. You could start Portis, I guess, and move Middleton to the two, but then you don't have any size off the bench. You could give Jordan Wara more minutes, but this is the Bucks. That won't happen. You could start Bryn Forbes. Problem with starting Bryn Forbes is that he is bad. And so I don't know what you do, really.
I did a poll. I led to a quick look it up back on January 5th because I can promise you if I redid this today, it would have a different result. January 5th of this year, are you happy the Bogdanovich trade didn't go through? Basically, would you rather have option A, Bogdanovich plus $11 million to fill 6 roster spots? So in that scenario, you would not have Portis, Augustine, Connaughton, Forbes, Craig, nor Dante and DJ Wilson, who would have been in the trade. So you'd have Bogdan and $11 million, or you'd have the current roster, which at the time had Portis, Augustine, Connaughton, Forbes, Torrey Craig, Dante DiVincenzo, and DJ Wilson. So your answer today is what?
I probably voted I'd rather have the Bucks roster because I think I tried to hide my pain. I think I was so in denial that the Bucks got screwed, that the Bucks are the one team that can't tamper, and everybody else can. And, you know, I don't know what happened. I can assume what happened, how that trade went down.
If you did vote that way, you were among the 80% who voted that they would have rather the trade not happen.
Imagine and this team sucks. With Bogdanovich. My God, how do you stop them?
Yeah, and that was the big thing, is like the Bucks would have gone from having two players in their closing lineup that you would, you know, Giannis and Middleton. Like, you know that you're in a playoff game that's close, it's Giannis and Middleton. That was always the case in previous years. You add Drew Holiday, you know Drew Holiday's in your closing lineup. Okay, great. You have three of your five closing lineup spots locked in with no questions. It's not about rotation. It's not about coaching decisions. You have three of your five locked in. You add Bogdanovich, you have four of your five spots completely locked in, which only leaves that one variable of, you know, what's a better matchup? Is it Tucker? Is it Brooke Lopez? Is it Bryn Forbes? Like, whoever it would be that would still be on this team. Keep in mind, Bryn Forbes is on a minimum deal, so they could have still had Bryn Forbes on a minimum. And now you kind of go back to saying, okay, great. Like, Drew, Giannis, and Chris, pretty darn good, right? That's a pretty darn good way to start. But then with Pat and Dante, with Portis and Tucker, with Teague and Forbes, like all of these variables that you are then relying on Coach Budenholzer to make that decision. And what I've seen, what I've heard, is Bucks fans aren't super thrilled with that variable right now and giving that power and that option to Bud. So, man, Bogdan started the year injured. He started like the first, I remember this, because I was really watching a lot of Hawks early in the season. He started the first couple games.
Oh, my God, yes.
They started a couple games. They put him on the bench. He got hurt. He was hurt for like 2 months. Like, he, you know, there would have been a two-month period there as Bucks fans if, like, let's say the same scenario played out, which, of course, you know, so it wouldn't have, because he wouldn't, would he necessarily get hurt? Who knows? But you would have had 2 months of saying, this is our, like, this is what we did. This is what we, you know, gave up our final piece of assets to, and Dante, and he's playing pretty well in Sacramento, and, you know, DJ Wilson, I still had hope for, and blah, 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 and Bogdan can't even play in 2 months. This is a disaster. But now you fast forward to late April, where the Hawks are making a great push towards the playoffs in a game when you don't have your best player. The Hawks didn't last night, and Bogdan puts up 32, and you're saying, that would have been our fourth best player? We could have had Bogdan in addition to Drew and Chris and Giannis. That's where it's like, you know, I like to take the temperature on January 5th and see how are people feeling today. I should probably just copy and paste this poll and do it again. I'm sure the 80% that preferred the roster that as it turned out to be would now be 80% or more having taken the Bogdanovich route. And it's you hope it's not the difference between a finals trip and a non-finals trip. I'm sure that's the easy way to say it.
Well, I think about this a lot as you and I are fathers now in this part of our life. And I think of looking ahead to when I explain to my son, when he, once I beat into him that he, well, I shouldn't say it that way, but once I pound into it, once I
ingrain
into him that he should like sports, which I'm giving him baseball cards. He's playing with them, and I'm trying. He knows what football is. I'm trying to do it without being too overbearing. But when he goes to me, when he's reading Wikipedia season by season, and he goes, Daddy, why didn't the Bucks have the best regular season record this year? Why didn't they win? I'll say, well, it was the craziest thing. Kawhi Leonard had the shot that bounced on the rim like seven times, and then the Raptors beat the Sixers. Now, the Bucks did have a 2-0 lead on the Raptors and really were in a great position to lose game three, but they lost. And then inexplicably, after not losing back-to-back games all season, they lost four in a row. And you'd say, well, changes need to be made, I assume. Yes, Dad? And I'd say, no. And then the next year, they had the best regular season record, too. And he'd say, well, why didn't they win then? I'd say, well, craziest thing, there was a pandemic in China that started in January. This is the pandemic I've told you about all the time, son. It's where we had like a 2-month heads up on it and still did nothing. And then we had to go play basketball in a bubble and the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat. And you'll say, oh, you were just telling me about Tyler Hero, how he had one good year and then flamed out of the league after four seasons and now runs camps. And I'm going to hit one of his camps because that's how he makes money now. Right, Daddy? I'll say, yes, Tyler Hero, complete failure. And so then he'll say, well, what about the third year? What about this third year? Why did they make the finals? Well, one of the people in the Bucks administration had loose lips, and as I tell you, they sink ships, and it cost the Bucks a draft pick, and it also cost them the championship. And he'd say, well, that's a pretty cursed history. What did the Bucks do to be so cursed? And I'd say, I still don't know to this day, son. Is that a pretty good... Is that too much? Did I...
I'm assuming
about Tyler Hero.
I don't want to say Father of the Year award is in your future necessarily.
Oh.
But I also don't want to not say it.
Yes, thank you. Well, it's just, you know, for Horst, it's like, they're like, do more. And he's like, yo, I had Bogdanovich coming here.
Yeah.
And someone ruined it. And whoever ruined it, let's assume we think we know. But here's John Horst. Somebody ruined this trade of mine, and whoever ruined it, whether it's someone in the organization, as we assume, whether it's Woj, as people are trying to say, whoever ruined it, no consequence. And the team that the consequence came to the Bucks. Like, John Horst is like, I'm trying, man. I'm doing everything I can. And I'm the one somehow that got penalized and no one else did. I once got fined for saying I like one of my own guys and I want to re-sign him. I once got fined for that. So that I sympathize with Horst in that area.
Yeah. He thought he had the final puzzle piece. That there's no question. On that one night at midnight or 1 a.m., whenever that happened, and I woke up early and said, all these text messages and like, this just happened. The Bucks have their team. This is the group. You got Drew Holiday in the trade. You got Bogdanovich in the trade. Only for the sun to come up that morning and start to unveil the potential issues. And literally down until the second Bogdan signed with the Hawks on the offer sheet, I was tweeting and saying to anyone who would listen, it's still going to happen. Bogdanovich is still going to be a Buck. And smart people like Eric Name would say the complete opposite and turn out to be right. And I just like, no. It's still going to go through. And then the NBA is like, no. He not only is he not on the Bucks, but hey, you know that second round pick that you want to use next year? Yeah, what about it? It's ours now. Thank you. So add that to your story to your son one day.
Yeah, I thought it was happening too until the sun came up one morning.
S-U-N or?
The sun.
S-O-N?
I would just say that. Paul, thank you so much, buddy.
Bye, Bart.
My good buddy, our good buddy, your good buddy, Paul Immig. So kind to join us for a little bit and talk about all things Wisconsin sports, most specifically how we're tortured. We'll talk some NFL drafts. See how the Packers will let us down on Thursday next. 12:50 a.m., the fan from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all your plumbing needs. I'm Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Ryan Horvath, and I had the opportunity to chat with Mike Dettillier. Works down at our sister station, WWL in New Orleans. He's a NFL draft expert. Everybody across the country tries to pick this guy's brain when it comes to the draft. We do the same. And I just cannot, for the life of me, figure out what's going on at 3. One's going to be Trevor Lawrence in the draft. 2 is Zach Wilson with the Jets. Although, is that as locked in as it seems, Mike?
He's locked in, too, at 2.
Man.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. The big intrigue is at 3. I know when I went to print with my draft book, I've been told by someone who is close to the 49ers organization that he felt strongly that John Lynch wanted Trey Lance from North Dakota State. But all the talk we've heard is Mac Jones, and I think that's Kyle Shanahan. And so it'll be interesting to see at 3, and I think even more intriguing at 4, because I've had a number of teams tell me, hey, listen, if they go with Mac Jones at 3, then we're going to try to get to 4 to try to get Lance, because they're not buying it either at the 3 spot Mac Jones until it happens. And just remember, a few years back, people say, oh, the 49ers don't leak information. Really? Well, why did the Bears move up one spot to draft Mitchell Trubisky? that was no way the 49ers were picking Trubisky. They moved up one spot and gave up a king's ransom to do it to get Mitchell. So it is a quarterback-heavy early part of the draft, and there'll be five picked in the top 10. But the three spot is where everybody is gauged. And then it'll turn to the four spot with Atlanta. And does the new regime say, you know what, we may never be in this spot again. Let's pick us the quarterback of the future with, you know, Matt Ryan not getting any younger.
It's going to be very interesting. Again, it all kind of does trigger at three. Mike Dettelier joining us from the legendary WWL. Does the NFL draft report part of that? I mean, Mike, your byline's everywhere. That's awesome. With three, I go back to three for a second because there's no way you trade. This is what I'm thinking. You trade all that for Mac Jones? You could probably have gotten him later in the draft. So that's why when you say Trey Lance, I would agree with you to Trey Lance. Justin Fields, I thought, was coming into this draft at QB2. Why is he falling all of a sudden, and where do you think he could land?
Listen, I've done this over 30 years, so I've seen this before. And there's always a target guy for agents to go after. And they give this information a little bit, and they pass along information that's not correct to people in the media. Listen, I get it daily. If it's a text, an email, or a phone call, or whatever, about, let me tell you about my client, boy, and he's really good. Let me give you a little bit of information on this other guy. You know, he's got some issues. He doesn't maybe work as hard. He doesn't maybe study, this sort of thing. And, man, listen, so you just regurgitate it for some. And that's what's happened with Fields. And it happens every year to certain players. They go after him. And Fields has been the target guy. And it's not media. People, oh, it's the media doing it. No, they regurgitate it. But really, it starts in the agent business. Because to move their client up a couple of spots, that means extra money for them. And so it's happened with Justin. Some of the most ridiculous things I've heard about Justin is, well, he's a much better quarterback throwing off the run than he is in the pocket. Well, then you haven't watched Justin Fields play. He's really a much more accurate quarterback in the pocket than he is off the waggle. And so there's a lot of things going on with Justin. Him coming out about his medical issue, he did that because eventually somebody was going to throw that trump card down on him a little bit later in the process. And we've seen it with players. And people release information. We saw it with Laremy Tunsil a few years back. Somebody, you know, post a picture of him with a bong, you know, a couple of hours before the draft.
Well, so, don't forget the gas mask part of it, too.
Yeah, and so
thank God that they didn't take photos of me in college, Mike. I would not be here today.
Well, listen. Growing up where I grew up at, and you know, you don't want none of that being. They didn't have that cell phone issue back then.
I saw someone somebody said the other day that poor for these kids because everything they do in high school is documented. Anything bad about so we're in our mid-30s, even us. Anything we did bad in high school, Mike, it's just a rumor. There's no proof
you
of
know,
it.
It's, and the statute of limitations have passed.
Yes, long passed.
It's one of those things, too. So, so you see it every year with that. And, you know, again, he's just been the target of people in the agent business. And I can tell you that's exactly where this is coming from. And these people nationally who are not involved with it, they just spurt it out as though they've Columbus are finding America, you know, because, oh, man, I got information no one else has. And that's a bad thing today, you know. But listen, we do live in that world that if I say it, then it's true. You know, they don't check up on the details of that. And that's really part of the society we live today. But whatever. I think Justin's been the hit guy, and I think there's a good chance he could fall and be the fifth quarterback selected in his draft class. And that's how much all of this has hit, because people see it, and then they believe it, and they think it's true. And that in injuries, I think, affect a draft class more than any. And there are three guys in this draft class because of injuries. That to me is always interesting on who sort of pulls the trigger on that, because you look at Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, with the back injury. Jalen Phillips, who I think is the best pass rusher of this group, three concussions at UCLA, quits football, gets another opinion, gets back on the field, has a great season for the Hurricanes last year. 10 years ago, concussions, what? Man, I ain't worried about that. Today, different issue. And Landon Dickerson, the center guard from Alabama, terrific football player who's started all across the board for the Crimson Tide and also for Florida State. But he's got an injury list that's thicker than War and Peace, the Russian version. I mean, he's got some injuries. And so where does that kind of come into play? Because that medical staff has got to give you the two thumbs up when you pick someone in round one.
Mike, I want to ask you about the Packers draft, but to be honest, I don't really care because I feel like they're going to do something that none of us expect like they did last year. So instead, I want to ask you this. Jordan Love, where would you rank him in this year's draft as far as quarterbacks? Would you have him before or after Trey Lance?
He'd be the sixth guy.
Wow.
No, just bottom line, he'd be the sixth quarterback selected in this draft class.
We hate the draft pick. We're big Rodgers guys, but I just, watching Jordan Love at Utah State, especially that last year. I know that a lot of his offensive linemen graduated and he lost some weapons, but some of those interceptions, and he led the FBS in picks, some of those were just bad throws, man, off the back of his foot, not reading defenses. What do you see from Jordan Love, Mike?
Two different tapes. The year before, he was impressive. He threw the football live arm, didn't make a lot of mistakes. I thought he pressed the issue his final season. And you're right, he wasn't surrounded by great talent. But he made some bad throws, bad decisions on where to go with the football. And he didn't have a great training camp either. And so that's what you wanted to call it last year. Are you sure this is the guy you want to go with, somewhere in the very near future? And, man, that was you got some coconuts to do that, because you knew that you needed to add some weaponry on offense, and also some help on defense at linebacker, and you passed on all of that to go with a quarterback that's going to hold a clipboard. He isn't playing anytime soon, and it was peculiar, to be honest with you. We do in the draft out there at WWL, and we see that, and that's one of the big surprises I've seen over the last 4 or 5 years, that this team, which had such a great regular season record, you get knocked out, but you knew what your needs were. You knew you were going to have to fill in along the offensive line. You knew you needed another receiver. You needed a cover linebacker, and you passed on all that to pick a young quarterback who's not going to play? That doesn't do you any good.
Thank you, because we have to, unfortunately, we don't like the pick. We have to defend ourselves.
Yeah, somehow we're in the minority around here.
Yeah, because it worked out with Favre and Rod. It worked out once.
It worked out once with two different guys in a totally different situation.
20 years ago.
Everyone loves to defend the Packers at every opportunity.
Yeah, so we're a little bit different. Mike, you brought up Caleb Farley, and I'm hoping that Green Bay, I want them to go defense. Last year we all wanted a receiver because it was the deepest receiver class. This year I don't think they're getting any of the guys I want. I want a DB. You brought up Caleb Farley, who, Sertan's probably going to be the first defensive back taken, and rightfully so. But I keep hearing that Caleb Farley, if it isn't for the injuries, would possibly be the best DB in this draft. What could you tell us about him? Because he may slip and fall.
2019, he was a stud player. He's built for the position. He's got size, great length, good recovery skills. He finds the football quickly in flight. But anybody who's ever had back injuries knows one thing. It's not something you get rid of quickly or ever. You always have it. And, I do know he did run really well afterwards, but still, man, this is a collision game, okay? It's not two-hand touch. It's not what you did in your backyard. It ain't, you're not Al Bundy, and this isn't Polk High.
he scored four touchdowns in a game, Mike.
Yeah, four.
And so you get the fact that he is going to tumble. how far he tumbles is going to be the question mark. And listen, where I'm at, you're talking about little depth. They don't have any depth at corner. I think they sort of looking at that, too, with Caleb Farley, with the Saints, because they need cornerbacks in the worst way. Once they cut loose Janoris Jenkins and he signed on with the Titans, now you got a possible legal issue and a suspension with Marshawn Lattimore. You have nothing else at the cornerback position. Patrick Robinson's 33 years old. You know, so where do you go there? But he was a really good player. He would have been probably the second corner selected without the back injury because he did opt out in 2020. But that's not a major issue for NFL teams. They could care less about that. But so now his spot's been filled by J.C. Horn. And I think the big question is, where does Greg Newsome II from Northwestern go?
Yeah, I love him.
And how far does Caleb Farley go if you're looking for cornerbacks in round one?
Because we're thinking at 29, where the Packers are, from, and you're much more in tune than I am, but there's like a group of four, maybe five cornerbacks that are like first-round talent. If the Packers sit at 29, they're either going to have to trade up, I'm told, or trade back to get a guy at like that value. Would there be, do you think, a guy at 29 that like is acceptable to take? Because we're going to... Again, we're going to have to find out where these guys fall or who takes them, but it seems like a lot of teams are interested in corner.
Yeah, and Mike, please tell us it's not Kyle Trask to back up Jordan Love in the year 2027.
Yeah, my God.
No, man, listen, Kyle Trask, he got exposed late in the year. His inability to get away from pressure. And, man, Kyle's great story. He's a big, raw-born kid that can throw the football, and he's accurate. The problem becomes in the NFL, if you can't get out of the way, and move around a little bit, you're in trouble. You get hit, and then that leads to you getting hurt. So all this stuff about him and Davis Mills, my thing is, guys, you know, I've watched a lot of Pac-12 football. Has anybody seen one game, Davis Mills, you watched Stanford and said, man, that guy's a really terrific football player? But, man, I'm hearing this over and over about him being a late first-round pick. You got to be kidding me. You know, he's a second-round pick at best and a late one. And I think with Kyle's lack of mobility, sort of the same way. Not that he isn't a good football player, but I can see the flaw in him playing in the NFL. There are four first-round pick corners, and that being Surtain, J.C. Horn, Newsome, Farley. After that, there's a gap. Now, there are probably six other guys afterwards that I think will go in round two. So if you're looking at that player at corner, you might be better off looking to trade back a little bit. And, you know, if I'm the Packers, the other thing, too, is with a quarterback getting up in age, as Aaron is, wouldn't I think about trying to draft an offensive lineman to protect him?
Yeah, offensive line, I think the Packers, where we're at, because last year was so horrific for us, at least the two of us, where we're at, there's not a lot of things that they could do that would be too shocking. Offensive line would be fine with me. There's some good guards I think they can get in that position. Maybe offensive tackle. I would be okay with that, Mike.
Yeah, and I think, again, this last year's receiver draft was the best I've ever done in over 30 years. This year's group, it can get in the ring with that 2020 group. I thought last year's group of receivers were a speedier group. This year, it's a group more size, lengthy-wise, receivers. So it's a really good group. And you can get a guy a little bit later. But, you know, you can't wait too much later because they're going to come off the board. So, again, to me, a guy like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, I think would be a great fit for Green Bay. You could put him in the slot. Man, I watched him play a ton of football at Ole Miss, and he's played out wide, played in the slot, terrific on these jet sweep reverse plays, can return punts and kicks, and you put him in that lineup with Devontae and Robert at tight end, you got something there to help out. Because you're not talking about winning regular season games here. You're talking about closing the season out and being able to score. And I do believe that... receiver is going to come into play, But I think it may more likely be that the Packers go offensive line or linebacker, because that now has become the most difficult position to play on defense. Because now the linebackers look all like big, strong safeties to me. You got to cover, because if you can't, then you're running out of downs. You know, okay, I can play the run well. Great. If I see you out there, I'm throwing the football right at you. I'm sort of daring you to cover that running back or that tight end. And so now, you know, they all sort of look like a Jabril Cox from LSU, where, you know, he's a 6'2½ guy who weighs 225 pounds. Or Jeremiah Owusu from Notre Dame, who doesn't even weigh that much. It's becoming a game of matchups. And if that's the case, then, you know, if I'm the Packers, I got to look at offensive line or cover linebacker in the first round.
Mike, great stuff. Your knowledge, wonderful. We appreciate the time. Mike Dettillier joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Enjoy the week leading up. Enjoy the whole festivity. Enjoy when the Packers do something that shocks everybody again. And we'll talk to you down the road, Mike.
Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all take care.
Mike Dettillier joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz wrapping things up. About to have the keys over to the Wendy's Big Show, everybody. Hey, it looks like that Julio Jones is available, Sam.
No, they should trade him, but they won't. Will he be a Packer? Absolutely not.
People are calling, according to Ian Rappaport, on Julio Jones. Yeah, everybody calls on everybody. I don't think this is a big deal. Julio Jones will not be a Packer. Next. Wendy's Big Show coming up. Sparky's Midday Madness. Rami Makhlouf. And we've got Brewers Marlins tonight. We'll break it all down tomorrow, everybody. Have a great Monday. I said it like I meant it.